Or if it is something can be replaced, maybe it's something that's really costly. Yeah, we do understand that things get broken. And we learn to live with it, don't we? More painful for us is when we face brokenness in our world. Broken relationships, broken health, broken hearts, broken promises, and on the list can go, can't it? I mean, face it. We are a broken people living in a broken world. Why all of this brokenness? Well, God has something to say about that. Our text this morning is Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all men because all have sinned. You know, we are born broken people in a broken world because of the first man, Adam, because of his sin. Here's the thing. Sin always promises pleasure and always delivers pain. Always promises pleasure, but it only brings pain. Now, don't misunderstand that. Is there pleasure in sin? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the diabolical truth of the matter. Sin, those things that we do in rebellion against God because we think we know better than our Creator how our life should run and what is going to bring us pleasure and what is going to bring us happiness. We think we know better than Him. We know how to run this product better than the manufacturer. It does bring us an initial pleasure. But have you ever noticed that for the pleasure to continue, the dosage of sin has to grow? It has to increase and get greater. I mean, think of it. You remember this, the first time, you young people will remember this. Some of you older people may remember this. But, you know, the first time that you hold hands with a boy or a girl that you're interested in, you get this tingling sensation all over your body. About the 10th time, all you're getting is sweaty palms. You want more. The first time you take a drink of an alcoholic beverage, you may like the feeling, get a little buzzed, warm inside. But pretty soon, it takes more to get those same feelings. Sin is never satisfied. Sin is never satisfied. Before long, the thing that you thought was so pleasurable becomes a prison so strong that you can't escape it. But we lie to ourselves all the time and say, you know, I can quit anytime I want to. It's no big deal. I can stop. I can quit. I believe it was James Stocker, the Scottish preacher, who said the chains of sin are so light that you cannot feel them until they become so strong you cannot break them. You see, the brokenness that we experience in our world, we experience because of sin. God didn't create a world of brokenness and death and destruction. We brought that on ourselves. When we decided that we knew better than Him how life should run. Now, you may be sitting here and you're thinking, you know, it's not fair that I should be judged for the first man's sin, for Adam's sin. That's not fair. It's Adam that messed up. How can it be fair that I am punished? Well, that's a great question. And I have an answer for you. You ready? This is going to surprise you. It isn't fair, but it's the way it is. God recognizes this also. In the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, Israel, they had the same complaint about God. They said, God, this isn't fair. So it says this, you are saying the Lord isn't fair, but I will judge you, each one, in accordance with his deeds. Do you know why we sin? Do you know why we sin? We sin because by nature we are sinners. That's our natural inclination. Now I want you to understand this. This is very, 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 very important. You are not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you are already a sinner. It's in your nature. And it's our Father's fault. Because Adam messed up. And we have followed suit. We're good family members. It's no wonder our world is broken. No wonder why some of you, maybe, are suffering brokenness. It may not be your sin. It may be somebody else who's acting against you, doing something that's wrong. Sin destroys everything that it touches. For before the law was given, sin was in the world. Now, I want you to understand this. The Ten Commandments did not create sin. The Ten Commandments did not create sin. All they did was identify sin for us. Some of you may remember that in 1998 in the National Press Conference Association meeting, Ted Turner stood up and said, it's time to get rid of the Ten Commandments, and he presented us with 10 suggestions that should replace the Ten Commandments. And here's the thing. Even if God's rules were suspended, sin would still be sin. Sin existed before the Mosaic Law was given to Israel, and it would exist still if that law were repealed today. The law did not make an action sinful. The law did not make an action sinful. It just brought to light sinful acts. And the opposite of that is also true. And you need to deal with this because we're dealing with some very serious things in our courts right now. And I want you to understand this. Just because something may be made legal doesn't mean that it is not sinful. Legalizing something does not make it right necessarily. Just saying, in the words of my friend. But sin is not taken into account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking the command, as Adam did, who was a pattern of the one to come. Okay, now, this is a little bit difficult for some of you. Paul is not saying here that if there is no law, if you're not aware that something is wrong, that you're not responsible for it. But sin, not taken into account where there is no law, he's not saying that that doesn't mean there's no sin. Rather, what he's reiterating is the fact that even though we may not recognize something is wrong, it still doesn't mean that it is right. Okay, even though we don't recognize it, doesn't mean, okay, we didn't identify it, so no harm, no foul. Even though the law did not exist from Adam's day until Moses' day, there was still sin, and the result was still the same. Broken people died. The wages of sin is death. Have you ever stopped to think about that for a minute? We're making a new room here in the back We're calling that our living room. It's going to be a great room for small groups that don't have a home to meet in. And we've been painting that room, and it's starting to come together. Starting to look really great. John Crawford's doing a great job, kind of overseeing all of that. And suppose I were to say to you, one of you young people, suppose I were to say, I tell you what, we need that painting, and if you will paint this room and you'll do a good job, I'm going to pay you $100. Any of you volunteer to do that for me? Yeah, I got some hands. Okay, good. I got some hands. Even John Crawford. So you go ahead and paint it. And I come in and I look at it and I say, man, this is great. You did a great job. Here's $10. What are you laughing about? Why? What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? I promised $100. You worked for $100. That was your wage, right? Something you earned and something you deserve. The wages of sin is brokenness and death. We work for it every single day. It's a sad reality. I'm glad the scripture doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, but the gift, not something we earn or deserve, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I want you to know that even though you might not recognize something is wrong, doesn't mean that it's not wrong. I mean, how do we say it in our world? Ignorance of the law is what? No excuse. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. Now, you may be here today, and you don't believe anything about the Christian message. You're not a Christ follower. As a matter of fact, you're not even interested in being a Christ follower. But you came because somebody invited you. Or maybe you saw our new series topic on the sign out front, or you saw it on the internet, or maybe you came for the good music. We had great music today. Tremendous stuff. And you came for one of those reasons. You don't even believe that there is a God, and that such a thing as sin is a reality. But you do recognize brokenness. You know that something is wrong, but you don't know what it is. You find yourself doing things you don't want to do, and the things that you really would like to do and promise to do, you find yourself not able to do. And you don't know why. And you're struggling. Why am I so broken? Why are things falling apart in my life? And on the one hand, they occur because we are broken. On the other hand, it may not have anything to do with what you have done, but because we live in a broken world, we suffer the consequence. Not very promising, is it? But hang in there. God has an answer for you. And for the next two verses, verses 15 and 16, we're going to jump to a little bit different translation because I think that it makes it a little bit clearer what Paul's saying. But there's a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death and brokenness, we might add, to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through the other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin leads to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to us being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. You know, a lot of people have this mistaken idea that Christianity is all about condemning people. You know the reason they have this idea? Because there's a whole lot of Christians who are real good at condemning people. We've turned it into an art form in some of our churches. Somebody comes along and they're broken, and what do we do? Oh, tisk, tisk. How could you do something like that? What a terrible person you are. And the reason they're doing that tisk tisk, what a terrible person you are, it's because they themselves are broken. They're broken too. We're all broken people living in a broken world. And even though it seems like it's the common practice of the church crowd to condemn people, that is not the Christian message. The Christian message is that God himself, in the person of Jesus Christ, entered into our broken world and became broken for us so that we can be made whole, made right with God. The NIV uses the word justified in verse 16. And that's a legal term that means a legal proclamation has taken place. We have been declared right with God on the basis of Jesus Christ's sacrifice. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God, and you can't pay for a gift. You can't earn a gift. If you pay one penny for a gift, it's no longer a gift. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, Scripture says, but by his mercy that he saves us. God has given us a gracious gift to anyone who will receive that. For if by the trespasses of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ? I want you to know this. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're hurting over today, God is not unconcerned with your brokenness. He loves you just as you are, and he's not asking you to fix yourself before you can come to him. Anybody know what this is? It's a clothes dryer. I grew up with a clothes dryer like this. Used to hang up the rope. This rope we're going to use, hopefully, as an illustration. Okay? Take this rope. It represents your life and my life. This knife represents sin. Remember we said sin destroys everything it touches? That's what it does in life. I'm going to try to find about the middle of the rope. Probably about right there. That's what sin does. Now, we can try to fix it, and we might be able to kind of knot it together, but it's not the same, is it? It's not the same. It's not going to be as strong as it once was. And we could try to cover it up. Oh, look at me now. Look how good I don't I look great? And we do a great job at that. You know, Christians are particularly adept at doing that, unfortunately. Try to present ourselves as whole and perfect when we know that they're not, that there's sin, that there's brokenness in our life. Sin destroys everything it touches. It's going to ruin your life as well, despite you thinking that you're the exception. And try as we might to cover it up, again, the result of sin, unfortunately, cannot be erased. It's not there. Is that not there? No, it's there. The wages of sin is death. And you know, we acknowledge that because you know what we say? We don't like to say, I'm a sinner. Not very many people like to say, you know, I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. Most of us say this, I'm just human. And by saying that, we acknowledge the fact that we're imperfect, that there's a problem. And guess what? That's okay, because it's a step in the right direction. The reality is every one of us is broken. We have to admit that we have knots in our lives. And we do admit it when we say, I'm just human. Now, you may agree with Ted Turner that the Ten Commandments are antiquated, especially that seventh one that talks about sexual purity. Oh, man, that was for the old days. Not today. You might be willing to accept all the other ten, but you don't want that seventh one, because you got a relationship going right now that you know is not right. And you think it's bringing you pleasure. I'm promising you, it is going to ultimately bring you pain. Because sin destroys everything it touches. You say, that one doesn't apply to me. That one doesn't apply in this situation, in this day and age. But you know that the knots in our lives betray the brokenness. They tell a different story. And it doesn't matter how you try to hide it. You know, others might not see it right in at first, but you still know that it's there. Now, let me ask you a question. Suppose you needed to buy one of these dryers, and you went down to your local hardware store, and the guy said, oh, I've got a piece of rope for you. Wait a minute, I'm going to go get it. And he goes out, and he comes back with this rope, and he says, I'm going to sell you this one. Anybody buy it? No, why not? Because it's broken. It's weak. You know that you're not getting what you paid for. But you know what? What we wouldn't do, God did. God says, you know what? I know you're broken. I know that there are knots in your life. And it doesn't matter that you're trying to hide them from me. It doesn't matter that you're wrapping them up and doing all you can to keep it from me. What matters is I love you. And I'll accept it. As a matter of fact, not only will I accept it, I paid full price for it. Even though it's broken. I was broken and I spilt my blood so that you can be accepted. And even better than that, so that you could be restored. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could be made whole again? If we didn't have to hide the brokenness before God? You know, sometimes I think that we think that God gave us the scriptures just to show us how broken we really are. And I know a lot of churches and a lot of church people who have perfected the art of condemnation. We have this idea that if we can make you feel bad enough, then you're going to realize your need for God. And so what we do is we set up all of these external standards. All of these external standards that if you don't do this, if you don't watch this, if you don't drink this, if you don't go here, if you don't go there, if you don't play this game, if you don't do that, don't do this, then we're going to let you have our version of the truth. As soon as you're clean enough, as soon as you're ready, as soon as there are no knots, you come and we'll take care of it. God says, I love you, knots and all. But because so many times in the church we try to make people hide that, we cover up too. We lose a lot of valuable ministry that way, if you ask me. Now, the corollary to all of this is, again, the mistaken idea that God is only going to accept good people. He's only going to accept us if we're perfect, if we know we're going to get it all right. If that were the case, I want to tell you something. You don't need Christ. You don't need the gift if you can do it on your own. But the cuts in our lives, the knots in our lives, remind us that we are broken And the message of the New Testament is that God entered our broken world, lived here, unbroken, for the purpose of taking broken people and making them whole. Isaiah says, by his stripes we are healed. And what God does is the impossible. He restores us fully and completely if we'll come to him by faith. Now, here's what I want you to do. We're going to do something a little bit different here at Gateway. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask all of you, to follow along with me in that prayer and pray out loud. I'll say a phrase, you'll say a phrase, and we're going to put it up here to help you if you want to do that. But if you can bow your head and pray, that would be good. If you're already a Christ follower, I'm asking you to do this because sometimes it's not that we need to be resaved, because once you're saved, you don't lose that. You don't need to be resaved. Some people have the idea that they need to be resaved and resaved and resaved and resaved. And the reason they think they have to be resaved, 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 because they don't realize that by nature they're sinners. They think that they sin, that they're sinners because they sin, not vice versa. They've got bad theology all the way around. I was talking to an individual the other day about the deceptiveness of the fallen human heart, and the person said that they were better than others. They knew they were better than others, and they were just sorry about it. They're just better than others. They knew it. And they're pretty proud of that fact. Now, if that describes you, this prayer is going to help put things back in perspective for you, I think. If you're not a Christ follower, this prayer is the one that can begin to fix the brokenness that you know you have. Brokenness with God, at least. So I'm going to ask you all, if you're uncomfortable, I understand. You don't have to do this, but I'm going to ask you to pray with me and just follow along. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a broken individual. I'm broken because of the world I live in. And I'm broken because of my own choices. I admit that I sin because I am by nature a sinner. I believe that you died and rose again to pay the penalty for my sin and to restore me from my broken condition. I want to receive your gift of restoration right now. I want you to remove the knots of sin from my life and make me pure and whole again. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you've prayed that prayer, and that's the first time you've prayed that prayer, you've just crossed the line from becoming not a Christ follower to becoming a Christ follower, I am so excited for you. I can't express what that would mean to me to know that you made that decision. And I want to welcome you to the family of God, and I want to assure you that if you prayed that prayer and really meant it, the instant you did, you were made whole in God's sight. In God's sight, the one who counts. The team is going to come in a minute and lead us in our invitation hymn. I think it's Room at the Cross for you. If you pray the prayer, here's what we normally do. Normally, what we do is We ask people who want to make that decision to come and kneel here, and someone who's trained is going to come and pray with them. And I'm not going to let you do that today because we already prayed the prayer, okay? But what I do want you to do is if you've prayed that prayer and you've made that step across the line from unbelief to belief just now, I want you to come, and there's going to be someone standing up here, and we're going to hand you this book, Living in Christ. It'll help you begin this new relationship, because even though we're made perfect in God's eyes, the reality is, to us, we still have knots in our lives, don't we? And it's a daily walk. One of the things that we want to do here at Gateway is we want to help people each day enter into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. And this book is a great starting place. Or maybe you've been away for a while, you've made that decision, but you've not been doing what you need to do, and you know you haven't been needing to do. You know, I have worked through this book personally. I have worked through this book probably a half dozen times already, because it's a good reminder and a great help. And we want to give it to you. And so what we're going to do is I'm going to ask, Frankie, I'm going to ask you to do it, okay? If you'll stand over here when I give the invitation, if you'll just come over here, and if you want one of these books, you come up, he's just going to hand it to you, you can go back to your seat, okay? If you made that decision, then you're free also to partake the elements with us, and I hope you'll do that. If you're here as a believer and God has spoken to you in some way, and you want to make a decision, you want to pray, you want to thank him for something, you want to just put that stake in the ground one time, you can come. You can get one of these books as well, or you can come to this side. You can kneel, you can pray, deal with whatever you need to deal with. Maybe you're carrying a burden of brokenness for somebody else right now, and you want to pray for that person. You can come and do that, and I want to encourage you to do that. Now, if you're here, and again, you want to do that, you come. This week, here's your assignment. This week, I want you to focus on one aspect of your life that you know are broken. And you can be a Christ follower. You don't have to be a Christ follower to do this. I want you to focus on one area of your life that you know is not functioning the way it's supposed to be functioning because it's broken. Some knot that you know needs to be removed from your life. And I want you to ask God every day to help you restore that area in a practical way. It may be a personal relationship with someone. It may be a habit that's pulling you down. It may be something that you know you need to do, but you never have time to do it, like a daily devotional time. We are all broken people in a broken world. But you can have hope, because Christ entered our brokenness so that we can be made whole. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray that you'll take this message as basic and as simple as it might have been, and I pray that you'll drive it home into our hearts, drive it into my heart, Lord Jesus. Lord, help me to remember that even as a Christ follower, I too am broken. I'm not perfect standing up here telling people, here's the way to perfection. I'm standing here as a broken person, as one cripple telling another where the strength can be found. Yeah, you might call it a crutch, but if you got a broken leg, you need a crutch. And Father, I pray that some broken people here today might begin to find wholeness at the foot of the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.